Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
And again, as we say, welcome to the Lord's House. We're so glad that you're able to join with us today. And I trust that you'll be blessed as we share the Word of God and what He has to speak to our hearts and to our lives. You know, the thing is, today I think so many people don't hear from God because they don't give Him a chance to speak. Or they don't listen when He does speak. You know, a lot of times in various conversations with folks, you might find out that they're talking away and you haven't heard a word that they've said. I know there's the old joke that goes around about, you know, the husbands with selective hearing, and that when their wife is talking to them, that they only hear what they want to hear and they block out the rest. Well, I don't know. With some people that may be true. And I'll have to admit there's a lot of things that my wife says to me that I don't hear, but I have a note from my doctor. But a lot of times it's the same way with God. God may be speaking to us, but we just kind of tune Him out and we don't listen to what He has to say. As I was going through Scripture a few days ago, actually, it's been probably closer to a week ago, God began to deal with me about a particular verse of Scripture. In fact, I noted that verse and set it aside so that I could go back to it as I was feeling God was beginning to speak to my heart to bring a particular message. And I want to provide a little background here. Most Christians especially, and even a lot of people maybe who are not Christians, but maybe they've heard the stories over time about a man by the name of Abraham. And we learn that Abraham, one day God spoke to his heart and said, I'm going to take you to a place. A place you've not been before. A place where I'm going to show you. I'm not telling you in advance where you're going. You can't get a map. You can't set your GPS. You'll know when you get there. And sometimes God deals in our lives a little bit like that. I remember a number of years ago, my wife and I had purchased a home, and quite honestly, we had no intention of ever moving from that location. We loved the house. We loved the neighborhood. We loved the view. Just the only thing we didn't like was the commute that we had. But God was moving and God was blessing and we were enjoying life. No intention of ever leaving that place until they carried us out to bury us. And then one day, God began to speak to my heart. Go east. That was all He said. Go east. Now, I was living in Southern California, in the area we were living in. Populated areas east of us. Well, you could stay in the immediate neighborhood, which meant we wouldn't have to move. Or if you went a little bit further where we probably have to move, I didn't like the area because it was desert. And I know a lot of people love Palm Springs, California. And quite honestly, folks, I'm not fond of Palm Springs. It's a nice place to visit. But I don't know that I'd want to live there. And I said, God, I don't like Palm Springs. Surely You're not telling me to go to Palm Springs. And I will have to say, at that time, our ministry had a lot of activity going on in the Palm Springs area. And my wife and I commuted to it. And we did that on weekends primarily. But God continued to speak to our hearts. And little was I to know at the time that God was calling me to pick up, sell what we had, leave our lovely home, and move almost 2,500 miles east to a place I had never been before. But you know, when we got here, to where he told us to move to, we knew this was home. And now, 20 years later, we're still here. Because God spoke to us to move here. And yes, we've had some good times, we've had some bad times. But God said, go. And this is kind of the way it was with Abraham, but probably a little more difficult because Abraham had a whole lot more to move than what we had to move. And at least we knew we were staying within a certain range of 3,000 miles. He had no idea where he was going. But Abraham packed up and moved. He became prosperous. Things were going well. Yet he still didn't have exactly the place that God had spoke to him. And as God continued to speak to his heart and lead him on, things begin to happen. As you read in the scriptures in the book of Genesis, Abraham took with him his nephew Lot, a younger man, his brother's son. Lot got into some problems, and you've all heard the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Even a lot of non-Christians know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And how Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah, if there'd just be so many, God, would you spare the city? And there weren't that many. And finally, God sent two angels to deliver Lot and his family, his immediate family, out. You remember the story? God spoke to them through the angels that were leading him out and said, don't look back. But Lot's wife couldn't resist, and she looked back. And the Bible said that she turned into a pillar of salt right there where she was at. We've got to be obedient to God's word. Abraham began to age, and he said, God, you still haven't fulfilled some of your promise to me yet. You know, there are things that you're going to do. And maybe I should leave everything I have to my servant. I've got this servant. He's been like a son to me. And maybe I should just leave everything to him. And God said, no, you're going to have a son. So then Abraham tries to speed things up by having a child with another woman, Hagar. That child's name Ishmael. Well, that didn't work out too well either because that wasn't God's plan. And then finally one day, the child that God had spoken to Abraham about was born. His name was Isaac. Isaac would become then the one whose seed would spread as the stars of the sea. Yes, it's Abraham's seed through Isaac that this takes effect and becomes a nation, becomes a large group of people. God has provided. But now I want you to think about Abraham here. God has said, I'm going to make your seed as the sands of the sea, as the stars of the sky, through this one boy, Isaac. And then one day, Isaac's still a young man, Abraham to him, or God speaks to Abraham in chapter 22 of the book of Genesis, and says, Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. I want you to think a minute here now. If God spoke to you and said, I want you to take your son and sacrifice him, I know I would. I have to admit, I would. I would question, God, is this really you talking to me? But Abraham had faith in God. So he gathered Isaac the necessary supplies, servants that they needed, went to the mountain that God had told them to go to. They get there. Now, Isaac is most likely a teenager at this point, and, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot to look around and say, Dad, we got a problem. Where is the sacrifice? Where is the lamb? Where is that sacrifice that you're going to offer to God? I don't see it. I mean, we've got wood, we've got fire, we got all this other stuff, Abraham. Of course, I don't imagine Isaac called him Abraham. But Dad probably said, where is everything? I mean, the one key ingredient here, the sacrifice. Because you see, they're getting ready to go up to the mountain to offer the sacrifice. Isaac's carrying some of the very stuff himself. And in verse 8 of chapter 22, and reading from the King James Bible, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. Now you got to think about it here, because Isaac's got to have some faith too. Whether it's faith in Dad or faith in God, he had some faith that something was going to take place. And they ascend to the top of the mountain. They get to the place where the sacrifice is to be offered. The altar is built. Everything is prepared. But there's still no sacrifice. What would you do if you were in Abraham's place? Do you continue to trust God? Or do you say, whoa, what a minute, wait a minute, God. Where's the sacrifice now? Surely you don't really mean for me to put my son on this altar. We don't really know what ran through Abraham's mind. I know a lot of preachers have taught over the years that Abraham believed that if he sacrificed his son, God would meet his promises another way. Maybe even bring that son back from the dead. I don't know what went through Abraham's mind. All I know is Abraham was obedient to God. A lot of times we don't look to see about another person who was obedient as well, and that was Isaac. Isaac could have overpowered his father, who was up in years, in his 90s, maybe a little bit older at that point. Isaac could have easily overpowered his father. But no, he yielded. Let his father put him on the altar. I don't know all the procedure they went through. That's not even important at this point. But they went through the process. He got him ready. I want to stop there for a moment, because now I want to go back to that verse. The verse that stuck in my mind, verse 8 of chapter 22. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide. I looked up the word provide. I like to look up the words and what that word was in the original language, and what words it has been translated into the English language. So I looked up the word ra'ah, the Hebrew word, ra'ah. And I found out that it's only translated provide 4 times. in the English Bible, or in the King James Bible anyway. So I began to say, okay, what other words has it been translated into? I wrote down just a few of the words that were translated from the word Ra'ah. Of the over 1,000 times that word is used in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, 879 of those times, it's translated see, S-E-E. Like the word look, you're going to look at something, you're going to see something. Because the second most highest number is the word look. And then at 83, it's behold, show, appear, consider, seer, spy, respect, perceive, provide, regard, enjoy, lo, foreseeth, heed. And 74 times various other translations that were maybe only one time each. For a total count of 1,313 times that the word Ra'ah is in the Old Testament, 879 times it's translated as the word see. So I begin to look in some of the other English translations and see how it came out. And in the vast majority of the English translations, that word is translated, God will provide. But as I looked at various other English translations, the Common English Bible reads this way, and I'm going to read verse 7 with it. Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. Abraham said, I am here, my son. Isaac said, here is the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the entirely burned offering? And Abraham said, the lamb for the entirely burned offering? Listen now, God will see to it, my son. And the two of them walked on together. A footnote in the Common English Bible says, or God will see, or God will provide. God will see to it. That might be more the way we might use that word today. I don't know. God will see to it. He'll take care of it. God will provide. There's another translation, the New Century Version, which reads in verse 8, and Abraham answered, God will give us the lamb for the sacrifice, my son. So Abraham and his son went on together. God will give it to us. God will provide. And yet, 1,000+ years later, God provided another offering for sin. Another sacrifice. This was not to be a burnt offering, but it's to be the shedding of blood, where Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, gave his life on the cross that we could have forgiveness for our sin. God provided. God provided the way of escape, the way of a covering for our sins, a way that we could be in right standing with God. The sacrifice of bulls and goats wouldn't work. It had to be repeated over and over and over again. But the sacrifice of God's Son was a one-and-done deal. God provided that sacrifice, and now everyone since has been simply able to say, Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I accept the blood that was shed for me on the cross, and it will cover my sins. Jesus, I invite you into my heart. God loves us so much that he offered his Son for the atonement of our sin. God provided for us. Just as God provided the ram, because if we go back to the story of Abraham, all was ready. Isaac was bound on the altar. Abraham, we're told, had the knife raised, ready to plunge it into Isaac's body. When the angel grabbed his hand, "Stop! Look over there. God has provided." If you go on and you read the story, there was a ram whose horns were caught in the thicket. Abraham loosed Isaac. They got up, went over, got the ram, and sacrificed it on the altar. Isaac went on to become the father of nations. His son, Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel spring from Jacob. God provided. It could have all ended back there with Isaac, but Abraham had faith. Abraham believed that God would provide. And today, we have that offering that God provided for us, that sacrifice for sin. And as Christians today, we have to put our faith that God will provide. God will see to it. God will see that what we need is there. So many times we pray and we ask God for something. God, I need this. God, I need that. God, I need, I need, I need, I need. And 90% of what we need, or we think we need, we don't really need. But God will provide those things we truly need. I know someone who recently was diagnosed with cancer. They've asked me not to share their name. But someone was talking to them about it. And they said, "I trust God. Whatever the outcome, I win. God can heal me through medicine. God can heal me through divine healing. God can do this or God can do that. And I can be healed. Or I can die from it. But I still win. Because if I do that, if I die from it, I'm going to heaven." We've got to realize God doesn't always provide maybe the exact way that we expect him to provide. And sometimes he answers the simplest of prayers. And sometimes he answers the most unique, one-of-a-kind needs that there are in a person's life. We just need to have the faith like Abraham did, that God will provide. God will see to it. He'll take care of things. And when it's in God's hands, it's going to get done right. A lot of times we jump in And we try to take care of things on our own and leave God out of the picture, and we make a big mess of it. But God will see to it if we will let Him. I want to read that verse again. And Abraham answered, God will give us the lamb for the sacrifice, my son. God will see to it. God will see to it. I want you to think about that. God will see to it. And whatever you're going through today, this message is for someone. Maybe more than one, I don't know who it's for, but for whoever it's for today, God will see to it if you put your trust in Him. Put your faith, put your confidence, put your belief in God. And He will see to it. And remember, if you're a child of God, no matter what the outcome, you win. And for everyone else, the world is becoming a not so pleasant place. We hear of rioting in some countries. The people are starving, and now they're rioting against their government because they're starving because their government betrayed them. We hear of people who have made it their life's work, their life's mission, and they will sacrifice their life to accomplish their cause, to eliminate the Jewish people. And in the process, they also want to eliminate the Christian. Both of us are dogs in their sight. And they will stop at nothing. But God's on our side. God will see to it. I'm looking forward because I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God keeps His word. And God answers prayer. I want to share something. I debated sharing it. Here where we lived, snow is not a common occurrence. But it happens. And I have to admit, if I know I'm not going to have to do anything, I can sit back and not have to go anywhere or do anything to leave the house. I don't care if it snows. But if I've got things I've got to do and places I've got to go, I don't want it to snow. I've had enough snow for my lifetime. So the other day they were talking about the possibility of snow, and it didn't happen. And I told my daughter, she said, I'm praying for snow. And I said, I'm praying that there won't be any snow. And we have back and forth with each other. And so far, in the specific area that I live, there has been no snow, even though miles away, where I don't have to be, there has been. And I say that because I've joked with them that God answers my prayer. And sometimes He answers our prayers, even maybe silly little things like, please no snow. But He also answers the serious prayers. God will take care of you. God will be there for you. If you'll let Him. If you'll simply say, God, I know that You'll see to it. And if you're not a Christian today, please invite Jesus Christ into your heart. Accept what God did for you on the cross 2,000 years ago by asking Jesus into your heart. And then no matter what circumstance you're in, God will see to it. Father, I thank You today for Your blessings. I pray, Father, if there's one who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior that's listening right now, speak to their heart, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.